Last week, Kendall, we talked about the machlokes between Yishmael and Yaakov Avinu over the control of the Makom HaMikdash, and that's very much what's going on now. So much hoped and prayed that this week it was going to be an improvement in the Matzev, and we'd be able to talk about the Chasdei Hashem that is not happening anymore. It was so much tsar. Every single day it's a Ein Lanu Yom She'eh Ein Kilul Es Yom Meruba Michaverta. That there's just newer ways that the Achzorius is showing up. And we have Haysafa in the Macham and the Makom HaMikdash, that they're not only arguing on the Makom HaMikdash with the Makom where the mosque is built. I mean, they have a mosque there. It's there for hundreds of years. So they have like a chazaka. And the Israeli government aren't paying Meicha. It's like they gave it to them. But now they're extending the tefillah. They just brought up there's a motion that was brought up for a vote in a United Nations organization called UNESCO, UNESCO. It's like United Nations Educational Cultural Organization. There's a bunch of member states. Most of the member states are Muslim, of course. And they just brought up for a vote the protection of the holy places in Israel, because the holy places in Israel are at risk from violation of the Israelis, that they violate and they disgrace the Muslim holy sites and the Christian holy sites. And they added to this motion to condemn Israel for the measures that they're taking and the provocations. And they wanted to officially added an official proclamation of this United Nations organization that the retaining wall of the mosque, they call it the retaining wall of the mosque, should be considered an exclusively Muslim holy site. There is a wall adjacent to the mosque that's a Muslim holy site. They claim that when Muhammad ascended to heaven on his horse, so he ascended from the place where the mosque was built. He ascended from the place that the mosque was built, and then they built a mosque on the spot where the horse flew up. But before he ascended, he tethered his horse. He didn't ascend right away. Not so fast. He tethered his horse at the place of this wall. And then he untethered the horse, and he went to the spot where the mosque is, and went up to heaven. So the place of the mosque and the place where the horse was tethered are both Muslim holy sites. And guess where he allegedly tethered his horse? By the Kaisel HaMaravi.
It's an actual motion?
What? Yes, it's an actual motion.
Happened today?
It's being voted on. They agreed to vote on it. Yes. It is being voted on.
When's the vote on?
Their holiest site is where the horse
is. This is an actual...
Yes.
That's going on right now.
It's an actual United Nations vote.
So what are they going to do if it passes?
There's not much they could do. It's mostly public relations and pressure. Israel has control over that part of the old city. But it's a tremendous, tremendous victory. Psychological pressure more than anything else. Then they could be justified in rioting when the Jews come to the Kaisel HaMaravi because they're violating a Muslim holy site. You know, it's not a good simon. You know, we when we hear these things, the most important thing, my Rebbe Ramay Shapira said, the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants something from us. What is it that he wants from us? One of the things he wants from us is he wants a certain reaction. When we hear these things, and there's so many factors involved, and so many forces at play that we could give credit or blame or attribute the movements to all kinds of different sources. The United Nations, the Arabs, President Obama, leftists. There's a whole list of significant causes that we could attribute what's going on now. And it's all wrong. It's all sheker. He said that the big Nisayan is that people view the goings on through the eyes of the media. And the reality is the way the media presents things. And the way the public presents things. And the way public opinion. And the way the diburim in the world. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, most of all, is to pierce through that. And to see that every single one of those accounts and every perspective of viewing it and what the seba of something is, what the cause of it is kulei sheker. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo is running the world, and only the Rebbeinu Shlomo is running the world. He's running the world in the direction of Niskav Hashem Levada Be'yamahu. That any other kayak is becoming batel mevatel. Anything that we were samech on, anything that propped us up or supported us, is all becoming batel mevatel because nothing can be left. We're seeing the Yichudius, the Yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and anything else is shek of a chazav. But we have simanim. The Makom HaMikdash is under attack. The Makom HaMikdash, the Shechina left the Makom HaMikdash. The Pasuk says, Shu'alam Hilchu Vay. Shu'alam is Isis Yishma. There's many Svarim HaKadoshim that say this word. Shu'alam is Isis Yishma, without the Aleph. And it should be that way. And there's no Chil Lakdusha if Yishmael's there. It's just like Shu'alam. There's no Shechina. Yishmael's there, there's no Shechina. They're there. Adarabba, it's a good thing they're there because Yishmael's there. Yishmael, they're not capable of being Mechal the Makam with their Tumah because Yishmael, they're not capable of Kedusha, they're not capable of Tumah, they're just like behemoths, they're like Shu'alim, they're like foxes. A fox can't be Tame, a fox isn't capable of hearing Tumah. So a fox goes there, he's not Mechal the Kedusha Makam, and Yishmael goes there, they're not Mechal the Kedusha Makam. But a Yid that's Tame that goes there is Mechal the Kedusha Makam. So it's good that they're there. They should be there, and we shouldn't be there, because they don't cause any Chil Lakaydish by being there. And a Yid that goes there, if he's not Tar, he's causing Chil Lakaydish. And that's the Das Torah. The Das Torah is a good thing that they're there, and that's Min HaShemayim. But the Medrash says that the Me'olam Lezoz HaShkina Ma'Kais LaMeravi. The Shkina never left the Kais LaMeravi. Where's the Shkina? The Shkina is not in the Makom HaMikdash. The Shkina is in the Kais LaMeravi. They want that too.
Why is the Shkina leave the Kais La? What about the Kais La?
It was built with the donations of the Aniyim. The Kaisel Merav is not the wall around the Beis HaMikdash, it's the wall around the Harabais. The Kaisel Merav was built with the donations of the Aniyim, and it was never destroyed. Everything else was destroyed. The Kaisel wasn't destroyed. Muslim holy site. It was built 800 years before Muhammad was born. It was built before Muhammad's horse was born. And we're living through this now. It never was. You know, it's like it's an accepted fact. The Wailing Wall is Jewish. It's an accepted fact. There never was a time in history that this thing was challenged. Because it's true. It's Emes Lamitei. The Pasuk says about Yishmael, Yada Bakal V'Yada Kalba, their hand extends in everything. They have no limits what they want to grab. They have no limits. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not. It doesn't matter that they grab. So that's what we discussed last week. We talked about Haskalah Sa'or, Royal Beis HaMikdash. Chanukah is the time of Haskalah Sa'or, because of Chafei Kislev, that's the time when it's the darkest. And Mamele when it's darkest. So when the darkest gets to its strongest point, that's when the light starts to be misgaber. So when it's the worst, when it's the darkest, when it can't get any darker anymore, it's total darkness, tzitzapalor, that's the time when you look forward to light, because it can't get any darker, mamele, it's going to start getting lighter. So kana is called haskalah sa'or. It's the skolzo, it's the or that lights up the darkness. It's misgaber on the darkness. We spoke about how vayhi or in creation, it's not considered haskolzo or, because that light didn't light up the darkness. There was light, there was darkness, there was mishtamish berbuvia. We don't know what that is. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he separated the or from the chayshah. He didn't. The light did not light up the darkness. They were there simultaneously. So the light did not light up the darkness, they were simultaneously. But a Chafei Kislev, three months later, when the Chayshik was at its Takvay, Betakvay, when it was at its darkest point, and then the light started being, little by little, the light started appearing and revealing itself. So that's the Haskalah Sa'or. That's the light of Or, because that Or is being Daicha the Chayshik. There's Chayshik, and that light is starting to increase little by little until the Chayshik's driven away. And that's true in a very physical sense, because like we said, that the seasons, the winter is the time of Memshel HaChayshik. The night is longer, it's very cold, and the Yachas of the sun to the earth is different. The sun is further. The Hashpah of the sun is less. So the Hashpah of the sun, being biyachas to temperature and to light, the time of Chanukah, it starts to increase. So that's why Chafei Kislev was the day of Chanukah. But Haskalah Sa'or Roi L'Beis HaMikdash. So Chanukah was not just a Nitzachayin over the Yevanim, and now it's light because they overcame the Yevanim. But it was deeply. There's a deep connection between Haskalah Sa'or, the time when the light starts, the day starts getting longer, starts getting warmer, that time of year, and the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is the Irish island. The Makam Beis HaMikdash Nirvus Ha'ira. God made light from the Makam Beis HaMikdash. Shenem Avini Kvedel Ke Yisrael Barmizach HaKedem. And the end of the pasuk talks about the covenant of the Beis HaMikdash. Rain covered on the Beis HaMikdash. Kisei covered Marim Rishon Makom Mikdashein Ad Kan. That's what we got to last week. Did I say that? Yes. Amar Kimina Beis HaMikdash Nivah Oyrus. That's going to be Mamshah. What does that? Beseder, we got it. You understand? It's clear. What does it mean that light was created from the makam of the Beis HaMikdash? Davar ze yadua l'nevayim. People that understand, they know these things. We're not those people. We're not. It's yadua l'nevayim. There are people that they understand. They understand. They know these things. And that's not us. The culture mesulik menagashmi u'arboyer. Mishnah talk on a purely physical level. We have a wide range of things in our Gashmistic world. And there's some things in the Olam HaGashmi that have Gashmi properties. And the other things in the Gashmi world that they don't have Gashmi properties. Even though we're talking about physical entities. Among the physical entities, there's some that have the properties of Gashmias and others that don't have the properties of Gashmias. Even though they're all equally Gashmi. Koshu Gashmi Yaser, what do we mean by Gashmiistic properties? Koshu Gashmi Yaser Ocher Bechoshek. The more Gashmi something is, then the more substance it has, and the darker it is. What is the most Gashmi entity in the world? Dirt. Dirt is the most Gashmi thing in the world. It doesn't fly, it doesn't flow, it doesn't go anywhere, it doesn't do anything. Rocks. Rocks. Earth. Earth. It doesn't go anywhere, it doesn't do anything, it doesn't move. It's Gashmi. Gashmi is synonymous with non-productivity. Gashmi is a couch potato. That he barely has enough energy in his fingers to push the remote. And he would never get up from the couch to get a beer from the fridge. That's what his wife and kids are for. He doesn't move. Gashmi is one big blob that lies there and spreads. Everything has to come to him. That's Gashmi. That's Arutz. There are people in this world that they imitate Arutz. They lie there and things come to them. And they don't do anything. And they don't go anywhere. And they don't produce. I just saw a sign in the protest. We'd love to boycott Arab products, but there aren't any. Could you imagine a greater mystery, a greater Dover Pella, that in Reykjavik, Iceland, they decided to boycott Israeli products? A few hundred people in Iceland. Who lives in Iceland? Anybody in Iceland? In Iceland, they're joining the BDS movement. In the main city, the capital. Can you believe such a thing? Israeli goods. The GDP is like, they do like $1 million of business with Israel. That's like nothing.
Diamonds.
Iceland. They're not going to import Bisley anymore. No. Where does it come from? It was a local decision. There was a local city council that decided to boycott Israeli products. The national government said, "Oh, you crazy? We're going to boycott Israeli products? Why would you want to do that?" They overruled the city council. They told the city council, go back and vote on it again, come up with a different result, and they backed out. They backed down, and wow. They are not going to be boycotting Israeli products. You don't need any more simanim to diminish shemayim. It doesn't make human sense. Koshu Gashmi Yesu Acha V'Chayshe Ke Aritzi Gashmas Lekach Aritzi Chashukha Legami. Kadosh Baruch Hu created Aritz. Until Hashem created Aritz, there was no such thing. There was no such thing as something that didn't have a purpose, that was doing something. Aritz does nothing. we do things to the Eretz. We clean the Eretz from the roots and from the weeds. We plow the Eretz. We plant seeds in the Eretz. We water the Eretz. And then the seeds, they grow within the Eretz and they produce. The Eretz does nothing. It's a place for things to come out of. It's something that there's a lot of potential there for things to come out of, but the Eretz itself does absolutely nothing. It's gashmis. Lakach Eretz Yikashuka Lagami. That's why it's dark. You mean it's literally dark. It's dirt, you know what the color of dirt is? Dirt. Dirt has the color of dirt. You can't see through the dirt. Amayim talks about the Arba Yesodos. The Arba Yesodos, Ofer, Mayim, Ruach, and Esh.
Isn't like water most gaseous then? In terms of. But
there is something about Mayim that's Rachak Min HaTzura. That's when you're talking about Tzura, because water will take on the shape of any container that's in any vessel, and earth at least will have some kind of form. So when you talk about form, the form of something, so water is very rachak min hatzura. But water has a lot, you know, that what it depends on the subject at hand. If you're talking about life-giving qualities, so then water has a lot more life-giving qualities than dirt. Dirt without water won't produce anything. The chias is in the water. So it really depends on the topic under discussion. Right now we're talking about, we're not talking about the ability of maintaining a form. Right now we're talking about the light quotient. You know, the amount of light that something gives off. Amayim enam kol kach gashmin kamei aretz. Because the aretz is gaseous, it's thick, obvious, acham yaser. Mayim him zakim yaser. The consistency of water is that it flows. Water is, it's a medium that doesn't have a thickness to it, doesn't have a coarseness to it. If you have pure water, so you could, it offers very little resistance. You can just glide through it. It's as if it's not there. You just swish it around. L'chein ha'mayim hem zakim yaser. They're clear. You look through water, it's transparent. You shine a light through water, the water is filled with light. The water is not a mechitza from light. It'll pass through the water and it'll be able to light up. You'll be able to illuminate. You shine a light from one side of a body of water, it'll go through the water, come out the other side, it'll illuminate. The properties of water is that it itself is not thick, it's not coarse, it's not dark, and it can illuminate. So it's closer to the qualities of light. And water does things. Ruach, wind, is oijesh misilk min agashmi. It's even more, it's further from gashmi. Ruach, you can't even, water you could see. Actually, you could see water. You could, ruach, no one has ever seen ruach. You see the particles that the ruach carries aloft. You could see a tornado cloud. When you see the tornado cloud, the funnel, you're not seeing ruach. You're seeing the debris that's going around. No one has ever seen ruach. So it's even further, because water, at least it's gashmi, because it could be detected by the eyes, by sight. And ruach can't be detected by sight, because even though it's not like a physical thing. And ruach is something that it flies, it's high. It's not confined to the ground. So Jeshadak, It's even less similar to Aretz, and it's more similar to Ruchnius. The term Ruchnius is based on the word Ruach. Hence the word Ruach. Ruach, Ruchnius, because Ruach is similar to Ruchnius. Until finally we get to Eish. Eish Amayla. He said to Eish, I Jason myself when I got me. Eish is Mashpi, it's not Makabal Ashpa. Eish burns other things, you can't burn Eish. Eish works on other things. It's not Makabal Ashpa. It's not containable. It's not Mishaber. You can't form a relationship with a being of Eish. You can't connect. Eish can't connect with anything to this world. When Eish is exposed to anything in this world, it obliterates it. It's very far from this world. Now there's a word here that the Maral uses which is critical. He talks about Eish Shamayla, so you say to Eish. The fire above, that's fundamental Eish. The reason why he says this is because he's not talking about fire. And we're not talking about water, and we're not talking about wind, and we're not talking about dirt. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, before he created the world, he created the letters in the Aleph base that express what the world's going to be. And we can understand this on a very basic level. And before you build something, you conceptualize it. This is the concept. You project. This is what's going to be. And from the projection comes the actual creation, the actual building. Kadosh Baruch Hu expressed what the world's going to be. And Hashem expressed it in four letters, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Hashem expressed it. Hashem created it. The Shemas are created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Before the world was created, there was no need for Hashem to have Shemas. The name of anything reveals what that thing is. Somebody calls you on the phone and they don't tell you what their name is. You don't know who you're talking to. The minute they tell you the name, they've revealed who they are. There's no need for Seamus if there's no revelation. And there's no revelation unless there's a world where God is hidden. So before God created the hidden, the world where he's hidden, the hidden world, the Olam, Olam means hidden, so there's no need for revelation and there's no need for a name. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world, he wanted to create the world that you can only find him if you look for him because he's hidden. So he had to create a way for himself, for God to hide himself. And then he had to create a way for him to be discovered and for him to be revealed. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shemus. And there's a meaning to each one of the Shemus. The meaning of Yud Kei Vav Kei, if we'd be able to figure out what that word means, so then we'd be able to make a connection between every single thing that's in creation to everything that was meant by the Yud Kei Vav Kei. You know, that's just not in our world. If somebody makes an android or a robot and he calls it Fatso, and then you see that he's got a very big belly, so you can understand the correlation between the name that you gave the android or the robot and the way he turned out. It's in his name. Brainiac. Very smart. Speedo, you know, whatever name you want to give your android. Speedo, Fatso, Brainy, Brainier. Whatever name you want to give it, it's Irish. It's in the name. Havdol, millions of Havdolas, the Kaddish Baruch Hu created the name Yudkei Vavkin, is a Yud, and is a Hay, and is a Vav, and a Hay, and the letters of the alphabet are so limitless. They're so limitless, they're so deep, you can keep... I'm saying, literally, you can break them down, because Yudkei Vavkei, so Yud is Yud Vav Dalad, and Hay is either Hay Aleph, Hay Hay, or Hay Aleph, and Vav is either Vav Aleph, Vav, or Vav Vav, and Hay again is either Hay Yud, Hay Hay, or Hay Aleph. So then you've just taken a four-letter... You've just taken a four-letter word, and you've got a lot more letters, and that you can keep going. If Yud is Yud Vav Dalad, so then the Yud Vav Dalad is also Yud Vav Dalad, and then Vav Al Vav, and Dalad Lama Tav. So you keep going. And then the Dalad Lama Tav is Dalad Lama Tav, Lamed Mem Dalad, and Tav Yud Vav. The meanings within Yud Kei Vav Kei are endless. Literally endless. It goes. There's no reason to ever stop. Because every single letter is made up of other letters, and they just keep going. And do you understand what I'm saying? I could show it to you on a piece of paper if you want to see it. It goes on and on forever. The meanings in anything, you know? Adam. Right, so Adam is Aleph Dalet Mem. Right, so you've got eight letters. And then you take the Aleph Lamed Fei. And Aleph is Aleph Lamed Fei. Lamed is Lamed Mem Dalet. And Fe is Fe Aleph. And then you take the Aleph Lamed Fe, and you have the Aleph, and you have the Lamed, and you have the Fe, and you have the Lamed Mem Dalet, so you have the Lamed, and you have Mem Mem, and Dalet Lamed Tav. And then the Fe, you have Fe and Aleph, that's Fe Aleph, and Aleph Lamed Fe. Then you do it again. And again, it's just, the meaning, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that ain't safe. But even though it's not inside, but it's four. The parent letters are four. So Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Yud Kei Vav Kei. The parent letters are four, even though eventually you're going to get all the letters of the Aleph Beis many, many times over. Because everything in this world is under one. It's either created by the Yud, it's created by the Hay, it's created by the Vav, or the Hay Achrayna. Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu conceptualized what he's going to put in the world, what the tzura of the world is going to be. The description of the world is Yud Kei Vav Kei. The multifacets in the world are also to be found in the multifacets of the word Yud Kei Vav Kei. And there's Arbi Yisaitis, there's Afar, Mayim, Ruach and Esh. And each one is represented by one of the letters of the Shem Havaya. That's what the Maharal means when he talks about the Eish Al-Yayna. The Eish Al-Yayna, when we're talking about fire, we're not talking about fire. We're talking about the Kayach behind the fire. Before Hashem created fire, Hashem created a Kayach behind fire. The nature of fire is due to what a Kadosh Baruch Hu put in it, when Hashem planned it. So we have physical fire, and the physical fire has certain properties. But what we're discussing now, we're saying something is rachak min achaymer. So we're saying that the nature of dirt is to be far from ruchnias, and it's close to gashmias. The nature of water is closer to ruchnias. But these are all a product of their original creation in the Shem of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we're stopping in the middle of an inyan. It's a shame we should be zeichet to be here b'shalom. Next week, we should be zeichet to have a week of steiging. We should have Yeshua's and Nechamas from the Melech Eizem Mashiach Magen.